We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth to fit on those bumper stickers. By the way, you can watch the show. You can, obviously, a lot of y'all are listening to the show on various radio stations, AM and FMs around the northern part of Alabama, lapping over into, you know, neighboring states. But you can also stream the show live online. And I just happened to glance over, and I am wearing a bright orange shirt today. It's an Auburn shirt. I will go ahead and say that right up front. And, oh, by the way, it's a bootleg shirt. I don't know, Big Rig, that I didn't tell you this before the show, did I? I told somebody downstairs. I was telling somebody downstairs. Absolute bootleg shirt.
A bootleg Auburn shirt?
Bootleg Auburn shirt. So no lie, I'm wearing a bootleg Auburn shirt. So if you notice, it's got a symbol that looks like a split rail fence.
Well, yeah.
So apparently the story goes, the Auburn Ag College decided they're going to come up with their own logo. And they had, if you look at it, it looks like a split rail fence, but it's a WE for War Eagle. So
it
there
looks
it
like
is.
Three Cheetos in front of a claw mark.
That was a useless thing for you to say. Three Cheetos. Anyway, bottom line is they designed their own logo because they're the Ag College. They got like a farm fence. It's made out of split rails and all that. And they were immediately slapped down by the university for coming up with a logo that's not been approved. And so my daughter texted me one day when she was down there. Dad, what size shirt do you want? Excuse me? I don't know. What? Extra large, I guess. What do you got? And she sends me this picture. And they apparently... all the shirts were in a bin out in the lobby of the Ag College, free, take one. So, because they had to get rid of them, they couldn't sell them. They weren't allowed to make money off of it, so they had to dispose of them.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they disposed of them by giving them away. So I have my free bootleg Auburn Ag College shirt.
Nice. Wear it with pride, man.
I can. And I can also go deer hunting in it because, you know, I can be seen from a mile away. I could signal planes with this shirt. All right, several text messages already in. You want to text in or call it in, same number for both, 833-687-4448. Remind me to tell you, by the way, about my bootleg 1st Cavalry Division patch. I'll tell you that one next. Text line, Monty from Huntsville says, that's absurd with a D, not a B. You're killing me. Absurd. What are you trying to say? A-B-S-U-R-D. Isn't that the word? Absurd? Monty, what is your point? I don't understand. Absurd. Bam.
Did you say absurb?
I never said absurb.
I
don't say absurb. Absurb. Theater of the absurb. No, Monty, put your ears on, dude. Jeff from Indiana. Phil, I'm afraid you need to go further than just saying no, because that only brings on tantrums. I think it should be mixed with a little corporal punishment like you used to get when you was a child. Like when they raise up, all you have to do is give them that look. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, man, my dad... my dad was not abusive at all, so don't take this that way. I love my dad. He was the best man at my wedding. When I was a kid, dad discipline was on a different level. Dad discipline was like, at some point, apparently, I got the belt, right? And then from then on, all he had to do was give me the look and touch his belt buckle. Just touch it. No, Dad, no. Oh, I won't do it anymore, Dad, I won't. That's all he had to do. I just like melt into a pile of gush. But yes, Jeff from Indiana, you're correct. Probably a few of these punks did not get the belt when they were growing up. David from Bucky's says, Phil, we need to return to if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. By the way, there's a video that I just retweeted on my own Twitter feed. You can go to @SenPhilWilliams if you're on Twitter, S-E-N Phil Williams. It is hilarious. So there's a bunch of UCLA pro-Palestinian protesters, and they're all just doing their thing. And of course, they're all wearing their keffiyeh scarves they ordered off of Amazon, and they're all wearing their masks like they had left over from COVID, and standing there screaming at the police and yelling. Well, one of them is super obnoxious. This young female's got it going on. She's got a bullhorn, and she's in the police face, and she's yelling in their face and saying all kinds of stuff. And then she turns slightly to look at the crowd, thinking she's got it going. And all of a sudden, the ranks of the police part just enough. Two officers reach out, grab her, and snatch her back behind the police line and put her on the ground, start cuffing her. And the crowd's like, what just happened? You can tell they were completely caught off guard. Old girl and her bullhorn just like went away, just right there on the spot. Was it David Bucky said, you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break here coming up momentarily. John from Huntsville did say, though, by the way, Phil, awesome monologue. Once again, Big Rig has earned 5 extra credit points for playing the spectacular Taco Tuesday sound effect like a true professional. However, Scott Buttram may earn extra credit points more so than Big Rig today. He's already projecting Buttram.
I'm going to have to play the Taco Tuesday again one more time.
We need to find a few more sound effects for you. Just plus up, man.
Yeah.
Because Buttram's calling in. He's already got the leg up with the judge. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, Alabama. Y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. So I mentioned to you, by the way, my bootleg 1st Cavalry Division patch. So this bootleg Auburn shirt's got nothing on this one. All right. So Baghdad 2004. So 1st Cavalry Division is very proud of the fact that they have the largest patch in the entire Army inventory, right? It's giant. It covers your entire upper arm. It's a big, shield shape. It's got a single stripe across it with a horse's head because they're cavalry. And the horse's head on your left sleeve, where you always wear your active duty patch, is facing forward. When you go to combat, you earn what's called a combat patch, which is where you get to wear the patch of the unit you went to war with on the right arm. Except 1st Cav was just not happy because that meant when you put it on your right arm, the horse was facing backwards. That just could not stand. So someone got the bright idea. Let's make a right sleeve patch version. So when you wear it, no matter what happens, either arm, you got the horses facing forward. Yeah, the Department of, or the Institute of Heraldry for the U.S. Army got involved and said, that will not happen. So we were all walking around Baghdad, you know, wearing our bootleg patches on our right sleeves and horse facing forward, charging into battle. But no, that's not going to stand. And the directive came down from division headquarters. Every one of those patches gets taken off, like right away.
Wow.
So I've got several bootleg 1st Cav patches at the house.
Nice.
I suspect they're collector's items.
I mean, they could be.
You know, worth a lot of monies. I don't know.
You never know. One day it could be.
Maybe it is right now. How about it is to me, at least?
Yeah.
Anyway, bootleg patch. Okay, why am I telling that story? Oh, because I'm wearing my bootleg shirt. That's right. All right. Ken from Rimlap said, Phil, did you just say a 1st Cav patch? The horse we never ride, the line we never cross, the yellow on our backs, 1st Cav humor. Ken, that is absolutely awful. That's one of my combat units. You can't say that, although it is pretty funny, and yes, I've heard it before. Yes, 1st Cav. By the way, if you're not familiar, you know, the renaming of all the bases, I'm just totally chasing rabbits today. What is happening right now? But all of the military bases have been renamed. You know, we got Fort Benning is now Fort Moore. Fort Rucker is now Fort Novacelle. Fort Bragg is now Fort Liberty, yada, yada, yada.
Why are they renaming?
Oh, it's the scary Confederate names. You can't have scary Confederate names because they're scary and they might offend somebody who never knew. How many years did I train at Fort Benning and I've never heard that was a Confederate general? Never.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, Fort Hood out in Texas, the home of 1st Cavalry Division, the largest military installation, I believe, in the U.S. inventory. Hosting the largest, you know, combat fighting force, the 1st Cavalry Division, they had to rename it too. And so it's apparently named, I'm going from memory, I think it's Fort Cavazos, named after, you know, a super soldier, last name Cavazos. I think I have it right, Cavazos. Anyway, it's Cavazos, I believe it is. And I asked a family member about that. And I said, Fort Cavazos, that's going to be hard to say. What are you going to say? I'm at Cavazos. I said, Dad. You know, it's my son. He says, Dad, you know why they did that. I said, why? He said, because 1st Cav's there, now they get to call it Fort Cav. And I went, oh, it makes total sense now. I totally get it. All you Cav people out there, you got your own naming convention at the post, but you can't wear your bootleg patch. So there. All right, I'm through chasing rabbits. That was just like totally off the cuff. I have no idea why I went down those rabbit trails. Let's jump on to the first dipper, Law and Order. So it kind of galls me when you see politicians that choose what to enforce and what not. Now, I say that, like, for instance, right now, I'm watching the screens and I'm seeing Hunter Biden was convicted today. So let me just go ahead and caveat some of what I'm going to say by pointing out that I am keenly aware that on this particular day, the son of the Democrat president was just convicted of felony crimes. That's pretty significant. Now, I will also point out he almost got the sweetheart plea deal that nobody in the world should ever be allowed to get. And it was the judge who stepped in and said, "What is this about? This does not make sense," and made them withdraw the plea deal. If you remember, the Biden DOJ was trying to offer him a plea deal that not only got out of the charges that he was convicted of today, but like absolved him of future things he hadn't even done yet. I mean, it was like, this is just a get out of jail. Why don't you just give him a get out of jail free card? That's all this is. And the judge looked at it and said, "Can someone explain to me if anyone has ever been given a deal like this before?" And the answer was "No, Your Honor." "Well, then we're not doing it either." And the judge refused to allow the plea deal to go forward. As a result, Hunter Biden's case, tried to a jury this week and parts of last week, went to the jury yesterday, came out before lunch today, guilty on all counts. Guilty, by the way, and don't forget, by the way, he's also got another trial coming up, I think it's September, on millions of dollars in tax evasion and false filings, lying to the IRS. That's going to be a big one, actually. That one may even carry more penalties than the one he's in. He faces a potential of 25 years in jail off of what he was convicted of today. What was he convicted of today, Phil? He was convicted of lying on the forms to get a firearm. What? Yep. The reason why they didn't want this to go forward is A, he was the president's son. B, he's a Democrat. But C, they did not want to have to deal with the fact that the so-called laptop from hell that everybody had tried to deny was even real and even said, "Oh, by the way, this is nothing but a piece of Russia collusion." The laptop from hell had to be entered into evidence certified by the FBI as being legitimate, and contents thereon were played as evidence in the course of the trial. Y'all, it was everything the Dems did not want to have seen in public. And so as I see him getting convicted, and I know the Democrat mantra, all the talking heads are going to say, "Well, keep in mind, I mean, even the president's own son was convicted." Yeah, after they tried to get away with this freaky plea deal, after they tried to get away with lying about the laptop, which they, by the way, they did that in part to try and swing the last election. So yeah, basically what happened was they got caught. And they had no choice but to prosecute. Now, he was convicted technically of a gun-related crime. Not gun use per se, but he was trying to obtain a firearm in violation of federal law. Lying on his forms, and also, by the way, lying about his own drug use in order to be able to get a firearm. Because the evidence clearly showed that he was absolutely a crack addict at the time. So here's old boy Hunter Biden, convicted today of gun-related crimes, and I kid you not, but at the same time the jury's coming out with their with their announcement of the conviction, the father, Joe Biden, is speaking at a gun control conference. No lie. Moms for Action, this massive gun control, you know, cabal that wants to just do away with the Second Amendment altogether. Joe Biden is literally, at the same time his son is being convicted of gun-related crimes, is speaking at a gun control conference. Hello, pot. Meet the kettle you just called black. This is your family. And you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is not even my dipper for the day, but I looked at the news breaking this morning and I thought my dippers were already prepared and I'd already sent them in, and Alicia here at the office was putting them together for me in printed form so I could highlight them and all that. And then Hunter Biden, and then Joe Biden speaks at a conference. And I'm like, my God, if somebody were to say, we're going to create a Saturday Night Live skit and we're going to do certain things, I would think that this could fall in line with the Saturday Night Live skit writers, you know, efforts. They couldn't create parody like this. It's like, okay, I'm just dropping the script. I'm going with my gut here. So I don't know how you're going to put this in the podcast. Title it whatever you want to. Call it Phil Goes Off on a Rant. I don't know what you want to call this. But the reality is today we saw the most cavalier of presidents who flaunts the Constitution, says that your constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights, are not absolute. And his own son is convicted of crimes thereof, and he goes and speaks to a conference and tries to uphold the mantra that we need to take care of all this. Okay. Now, at the same time last night, I don't know if you've seen this or not. I was showing Big Rig right before the show. I actually tweeted this out on my social media last night at Sinfield Williams on Twitter. Have you seen the video of the Juneteenth celebration at the White House? And by the way, I don't mind Juneteenth at all. I mean, I understand you're celebrating the day that the last black slaves realized they'd been emancipated when the news got to them. And so Juneteenth, that's awesome. But it's also been used as a pandering opportunity, so much so that I'm pretty sure we're going to have Juneteenth month for too long, because the Biden administration had a big Juneteenth celebration last night. Was last night the 19th of June? No, it was the 10th of June. It's just when they had the celebration. I don't know how to explain it. And it was like something out of the Hunger Games. Have you seen it? It was like something out of the Hunger Games. I usually don't comment on this because it's not always necessary, but Joe Biden looked absolutely infirm. So there's a crowd on the lawn of the White House, and they've got some concert going on. I don't know what was happening. You couldn't see that part of it. You could hear the music. And there's Kamala and her husband, the first man, and they're doing a little jig, and they're trying to keep time with the music, and people all around them are like waving their hands in the air and clapping and having a good time. Standing right next to them was a tall, bearded dude with dreadlocks in a sequined dress. I am not making this up. Can you give me an? Are you kidding me? You got to give me a sound effect here. You're. I'm like.
Are you kidding me?
That'll work. Play it louder. Just do it.
Are you kidding me?
There you go. You get extra points. See, I'm just plussing you up here, bro. So you got sequin boy with the beard, dancing and having the best time right next to the vice president. In the meantime, Joe Biden is standing there and he looks absolutely 100% lost. Like everybody else is getting jiggy. And Joe is standing there completely frozen in time, hands kind of slightly bent, like he doesn't know what's happening.
He looks like a mannequin.
He did. He looked like he was posing for a suit at Joseph A. Bank.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, Men's Warehouse, the dummy is standing in the corner wearing the latest gray suit. That's what it looked like. Anyway. And I sent that video out on my social media, and I said, if somebody said, let's create a parody of the Biden administration, you would look at it and go, oh yeah, and then you realize it's real. I don't know what they had him juiced on last night, but I mean, old boy was stoned out of his gourd. In the meantime, you got beard boy with the sequin dress, and all I have to say is that's our Commander in chief. That's the White House. That's the leadership of this great nation. Whatever happened to, we're going to restore some decorum. Phil, they were celebrating Juneteenth. No, they weren't. They were pandering. What's the transvestite got to do with anything standing there? Well, trannies have rights too for Juneteenth. Oh, were all the tranny slaves emancipated on Juneteenth? No, it was a pandering opportunity to be as left and as weird as they could be. And meanwhile, Joe was past his bedtime and did not know what to do. He went up there, by the way, got up on stage, gave one of the shortest speeches he's ever given. It was a pandering speech. It just told everybody why it's just impossible to be a black person in America and how your country doesn't love you, but we're going to keep trying to fight for you. You know, stay with us, Democrats, we'll take care of you. And then he slurred the words. There were times when you couldn't understand what he was saying. And then he got lost getting off the stage, and the guard had to actually point to him and how to get to the stairs, and he did. He had to turn and go, oh, there it is. And he left, and he was gone for the night. Done. Oh, all right. I just went on a total rant. That happened in the last 12 hours. Are you going to take me to a break, or are you just going to stare at me the whole time? I'm sitting here. It is 2:40. We are running long here, brother. We're going to come back, have just enough time to say Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, and go back to the next break. But it is Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. So there's a guy named Greg Price that I follow on Twitter. I just happened to see it. So he's actually got a video clip on his Twitter feed of Biden at the Moms Demanding Action gun control conference today. He says Joe Biden, in less than a minute, claimed he was a professor at UPenn, which he never was. Claims he taught a constitutional law class on the Second Amendment, which he never did. Said you could own a cannon when Second Amendment was implemented, which you could. I said you couldn't own a cannon when Second Amendment was implemented, which you could. And ends by failing miserably to say the phrase, the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots. And all by the way, talking about this gun control and gun safety issue, at the same time his son's conviction on gun-related issues was coming out. Unbelievable. Can't write this stuff. Got a brand new texter in the line. Didn't tell us who he was, so tell us who you are and where you're from so we can plug you in. He says, question I have is simple. What drug dealer has the audacity to sell drugs to the President of the United States' son? Didn't Hunter have Secret Service also following him around since he's buying drugs? If so, we allow this to just happen? Tax dollars protecting drug deals? So I am not clear as to whether or not Hunter was actually buying drugs himself, or somebody was getting them and probably handing them to him, which is more likely. But then the other piece of this is he definitely was doing this during a time when his father had been the vice president, and I would assume still had Secret Service details in the post-vice presidency. Thomas Mathen says, I am not Biden's doctor, but my best friend over 80 observes Joe. My friend has Parkinson's and knows about the meds that can diminish symptoms thereof for diminishing the numbers of hours as the disease progresses. Wow. I feel certain that they're helping him. I'm not a doctor. I'm not gonna try to pretend that I have a diagnosis for him, but you can just watch and tell that something is not well. Something is not right. Devin from Brownsboro says, did the judge give Hunter Biden a sentencing date? Do you think he'll serve any real time, and do you believe that Joe will keep his word that he will not pardon his son? I believe that Joe will not pardon his son. I think that somebody future will. In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised to find out that Trump would. Who knows? But did he give him a sentencing date? No, I don't think it's been announced yet. If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me, but I don't believe the sentencing date has been announced yet. But I do know that the other trial he has to go through for lying on the tax to the IRS and evading taxes happens in September, right before the election. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, did you hear the part where Trump said he would pardon Hunter? Oh, no. Okay, there it is. I did not hear that. I hope he doesn't, but old Joe will. I don't know. I think it'd be something else. I think it'd be a healing thing if he did. First of all, I don't think that Hunter's going to wind up spending any time in jail. I don't. It was a nonviolent crime for which he's been convicted. I think there will wind up being some measure of restitution. I think there'll probably also be, probably some kind of, house arrest or parole. But I don't know that he'll spend any time in. Meanwhile, Steve Bannon is in jail for 4 months because he didn't answer a congressional subpoena to the Democrats. Unbelievable. And then KB from Hartsville says, if you ain't Cav, I hear you, Sergeant First Class. I hear you. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Scott Buttram. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.